This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
Ashley, this morning, as it's being reported, the Holy Father, Pope Francis, continued his teachings on the value of old age. What was the focus of the Holy Father's audience this morning in St. Peter's Square?
Well, the focus, John, was about continuing to have strength in old age, even if your physical strength may waver. And the Pope looked at the book of John, chapter 21, verses 15 to 23, focusing on the conversation that Jesus had with St. Peter. And Pope Francis said Jesus warns Peter that when he was young, he was the master of his own life, but that when he grows old, his testimony would be accompanied by weakness. And he said that As you age, following Jesus has to change because it will become molded by frailty, by helplessness, by dependence on others. And he said you see that in all ways, even in dressing and in walking. And in old age, the Pope said, people learn to bear a consistent witness in the conditions of a life that they have to largely entrust to others because they lose their own autonomy. So in this conversation between Christ and Peter, besides alluding to Peter's martyrdom and death, Jesus' words were also understood as inviting Peter to learn to bear witness in a new way in his old age. So he warned against the old being jealous of the young. He noted Peter's question to Christ about St. John, asking, well, what about him? And so then the Pope said Jesus' response to Peter was frank, even coarse. He said, what does it matter to you? You follow me. So the Pope also said that Peter's relationship with Jesus was a very tender one. It was direct and free and open. And he called it a relationship in truth. And that in their exchange, Jesus asks Peter, of course, if Peter loves him. And then he invites Peter to tend my sheep. But the Pope pointed out that in the course of this conversation, the two disagree. They sort of banter back and forth. The Pope said they argue as they had in the past. And the Pope this morning then asked if the faithful are capable of preserving this type of relationship that Jesus had with the disciples, according to that same style of openness, that of frankness and being so direct, because he called that humanly real. He said that sometimes our tendency is to sugarcoat the truth of the gospel, and that when we do that, we distance ourselves from Christ. But he reflected today on that gradual wasting away of physical strength that happens with age, and he said it should instead be a chance for all to embark upon a new way to follow Christ. And he finished the catechesis today, John, ensuring the elderly that what he called their forcibly inactive act of following the Lord, of listening to him, of contemplating him, will actually become the best part of their lives.
And this teaching by Pope Francis reminds me of what we see right there in St. Peter's Square, the site where Peter was crucified upside down, something that you know quite well, something foreshadowed in that gospel passage from the Gospel of John with Peter when he was much younger.
Yes. In fact, today the Pope spoke about the faithfulness of the disciples, and of course we certainly see that in St. Peter himself. He talked about the fidelity that they have to following the faith that they believed in despite the conditions, and so that's exactly what he called the elderly to as well, John.
The Holy Father afterwards also prayed for the victims of this devastating earthquake that hit Afghanistan, killing at least 950 people or more and injuring another 600 others. What do you know about the Holy Father's message for those people in Afghanistan?
Yes, it happened, of course, just this morning, but he prayed at the audience. His words were, I pray especially for those who lost their lives and their families, and I hope that with everyone's help, we can alleviate the suffering of the dear people of Afghanistan. So his heart and mind certainly is with those who are suffering, John.
And Pope Francis, as the universal pastor, has such a heart. Whenever these kind of tragedies happen, it doesn't matter whether it's in a Christian country or not. His heart is always with the people.
Yes, indeed. We've seen that time and time again, that he's very much aware of these situations that are going on, and reaches out immediately with a message and an assurance of prayer.
Now, I see in photos the Holy Father in the Pope Mobile there in St. Peter's. What's the temperatures like in Rome? I understand there's a little bit of a drought going on in Italy.
Yes, in fact, in St. Peter's Square today, it was quite warm, about 93 degrees. And indeed, John, you said it, we have a drought right now in Italy. And our health undersecretary has indicated that the Italian government is set to declare a state of emergency in the regions that are being worst hit by this drought. Now, our region, which is the Lazio region, in which Rome is located, is set to also declare this state of emergency and is moving towards water rationing this summer. So the situation has been described as serious. Now, to give you an idea of what it's like, the Tiber River, which of course runs through Rome, the water levels have dropped over a meter compared to what it was like this time last year. In fact, in the riverbed in more north of Rome, near the Vatican, you can see in the Tiber River the remains of an ancient bridge built by Nero. So the bridge has now surfaced from the water due to the drop in water levels. So the head of the Tiber Basin Authority said that since the last drought, which was in the summer of 2017, Rome's Water Authority has been working to improve the city's leaking pipes. They say it's down from a whopping 43% of pipes that were leaking to now 28%. In fact, on our street, my husband John and I live on the Via delle Fornaci right next to St. Peter's Basilica, and our water is going to be turned off on Thursday night from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. Friday morning as they race to try to fix more of those leaky pipes. And then in other parts of Italy, other rivers like the famous Arno, which runs through Florence, the Agnene, they have about half the water that they normally do at this time of year. But the hardest hit is northern Italy. So the river Po is at its lowest level in 70 years. And Lombardy, Piemonte, Veneto, Emilia-Romagna, they're about to request a state of emergency with water going towards agricultural use. So
it sounds like we have to pray, John, to the La Madonna of good weather.
We do. Absolutely. La Madonna della Pozzo. How about Our Lady of the Well? We need some good water right now. We're going to see fountains turned off. Swimming pools won't be filled up. That sort of thing will be happening.
Now, you mentioned this Nero's Bridge. That's just one of just an infinite amount of archaeological sites that are in Rome. I understand there's a new way that you can see these archaeological sites there in Roma.
Yes, John, you'll have to put this on your list for your next trip to Rome. The city tomorrow is launching its first virtual reality bus. So imagine this, 16 passengers on a bus that's equipped with state-of-the-art technology go on for a 3D experience. And the idea is that it's meant to bring the central archaeological area of the city to life. So you travel amongst the ruins of Rome, and through the help of this visor-free technology where they have VR displays and special screens, you can actually look at the Forum and the Colosseum and the Palatine and the Circus Maximus and see how it was 2,000 years ago. And you can switch back and forth between how it looks now and how it looked then.
I can just imagine. What about the catacombs? Will this work down in the St. Cecilia catacombs?
Well, hey, maybe that will be the next evolution of this. That would be very cool. I have a feeling we'll see more of this technology.
All right. Also, you recently traveled to the Nemi Strawberry Festival. Tell us, what was that like?
Oh, John, that was so much fun. It was such a neat little experience. So the small town of Nemi is about 30 kilometers from Rome. And it is, when you There are 14 little towns that pepper the area. They're all built around volcanic craters. Nemi is the smallest of those towns, about population 1,200. When you look around, the architecture goes to the Middle Ages. It's Baroque, although the history of that area goes back to about 300 BC, if you can imagine. And so there's all kinds of excavation going back so many centuries. Now, one of the beautiful things about that town, Nemi, John, is that it overlooks a volcanic lake called Lake Nemi. But it suddenly in June breaks out in celebration because they're celebrating the town's rich harvest of wild strawberries. So something about the volcanic crater from the lake going up to this town, it creates a perfect windshield and a perfect atmosphere to grow these tiny little strawberries. So they're not the big strawberries we know. They're small, they're smaller and they're sweeter. And so I got to attend the Sagra delle Fragole. So in other words, it's the harvest festival of Thanksgiving for these little strawberries. It was the 89th annual festival. Actually, it would have been the 91st, but the last 2 years had been suspended, of course. And during the strawberry festival, imagine that you walk the tiny little narrow streets of the town. They're decorated with flowers. They're decorated with streamers. There's strawberry balloons all over the place.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
Oh, it's so much fun. They sell the strawberries in kilos and they sell them in jams. They have strawberry gelato, of course, and they have strawberry pastries and cookies. John, imagine strawberry pizza, or how about their famous wild strawberry liqueur, or even risotto. They have strawberry risotto on that special day. Wow. And it all kicked off with a mass, and then they do a special blessing of the strawberries, blessing of the harvest by the priests. And then the big thing is the parade. This is the presentation of the Fragolari. So this is what they call the townswomen who dress in a traditional garb. They wear a red skirt and a black bodice with a white lace top underneath, and then a mandorlacella on their heads. It's like a white veil. And then imagine that they have little strawberry earrings and strawberry pins. They embroider strawberries on their aprons, and they parade through the city. They distribute free strawberries to passersby. And then this is all accompanied by a local marching band. And then the strawberry dancing begins, John. And so the people from the parade, they dance. Imagine it's sort of like a combination. It's sort of like a polka-ish dance. And then they go around with their free strawberries as the whole town finishes with a big concert, music concert, and fireworks. It was quite a lovely festive occasion, John.
It sounds like a lot of fun. And again, nobody celebrates like the Italians. How do you say strawberry in Italian?
Fragola. And these wild strawberries are fragoline, like little strawberries.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Narona every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.